Okay, so we are at December 16th, 2016, the last day that we've been learning, that we'll set aside to learning Perek Yud Dalet of Sefer Shmos. And we're going to, I want to go back and refocus on the issue that we spoke about the other day, the issue of Moshe being told to stop davening. And Moshe is told, we gave several explanations, four or five explanations as to what it means that Moshe was told to stop davening. And there are some, at least, who are saying that Moshe, it was inappropriate because you were told that you're going to be saved. You were told everything's going to be okay. And therefore, now is not an appropriate time to daven. I would add as well, point out, that the pasuk before, pasuk Yudalah, chapter 14, verse 14, the verse says, Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishun, that Hashem is going to do battle for you, and you are going to remain silent. I mean, there seems to be some kind of requirement that B'nai Yisrael not daven, not say anything during this period. So what is the significance of that? 14, 14.
14 what?
Chapter 14, verse 14.
14, 14? Oh.
And you're going to remain silent. So what does it mean that you're going to remain silent? So before we go on to there, there's a couple of we know as well, so Vayiso, that they're going to have to go forward. So we know the famous understanding, what does it mean that you're going to go forward? So there is the famous Gemara in Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, that describes B'nai Yisrael D'Yamsuf, that they're told in order to go forward. So the way that's normally told over is that there's someone named Nachshon, Nachshon ben Aminadav, that he went ahead, he jumped into the Yamsuf first, before the Yamsuf had split, continues to go down and down and down, and that actually is the way the Gemara describes it. Lo kachaya ma'isa, right? Ela ze omer in ani yorei tchilas yam. I'm going to go in first. Ze omer in ani. Everyone said we're not going in. Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav v'yared liyam tchila, and Nachshon ben Aminadav said I'm going to go in, and he goes in first. Ne'amar sevuni b'chacha shafayim miram beis Yisrael. Ephraim was surrounding me with falsehood, and the house of Israel was deceit. Okay, Yehuda od rad im el, and Yehuda still ruled with God. Well, everybody else was afraid to go into the Yamsuf. Nachshon went in, and Valav Farish Bekabalah Hosheini Lukim Kivo Maimad Nafesh Tavati Bivan Mitzula Ve'in Mamad. And Nachshon said, as he got in and was being covered with water, he said, "Save me, Hashem, for the waters have reached into the soul, and I'm about to drown. I am sunk in the mire of the shadow of death, and there is no foothold, etc." Right, and continues a little more of the pasuk. But Osa Shachay Moshe Marach Mitzvila, and Moshe was davening. Hashem says to him, "Yedidai Tovim Biyam V'Atem Marach Tfilas Lefanai." He says, "People are drowning, and you're davening." So he says, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" So Hashem says, "Speak to B'nai Israel and go forth. Lefichach zach, and raise your hand and raise your staff. Lefichach zach Yehuda lischos memshels b'Israel, because Nachshon ben Aminadav was the one who led the way. The kingship of Israel got to reside within Yehuda." Now that raises its own questions. What do you mean? I thought lo yesur shevet miYehuda. It's already a pasuk that Yaakov said that Yehuda is going to be the rulers. What does it mean that this is why they married it? Okay, that's a question that perhaps, I think we might have actually dealt with that question when we did the end of Vayichi, I don't remember, but that's a question for another time. But that is one version here. There's another version, however, that the Gemara gives, not as popular, but that is that they all had a fight about who's going to go in first. That everybody was saying, "I'm going to go in, you're going to go in, we're all going to go, you know, who's going to go in first?" And finally, Kafatz Shifto Shel Binyamin V'yarad Liyam Tchilash. Binyamin grabbed and said, "We're going to go in first," as they went in. And Vahayasari Yehuda Rogmanosam. And then Yehuda was stoning Binyamin, was trying to get Binyamin not to go into the Yamsuf. Lefichach zacha Binyamin atzadik v'nasu ushpizel gvura. Therefore, Binyamin became the host to the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, the Beis Hamikdash resides within Binyamin. And perhaps, what about Yehuda? Was Yehuda doing the right thing, or were they doing the wrong thing? So Tosfos on this Gemara suggests that, no, they were both doing the right thing. The king had given different instructions. The king had said, he gives a mashal of a king who says to one child, "Wake me up at daybreak," and he says to another child, "Wake me up at 3 hours into the day." So the child that is assigned to wake him up at daybreak is going in, and the other child is trying to keep him out. And there's a big fight outside, there's a tumult, and there's a commotion, and then one of them pulls the other one's hair, and the other one starts crying, and all of a sudden the king wakes up. He says, "I know both of you had my interest in mind, so therefore you're both going to be rewarded." So Tosfos claims that's what's going on here, that there was a machlokas l'shem shemayim, that Yehuda was saying we shouldn't go in because the wind is going to blow and the miracle should happen as in as natural a way as possible. That's a possibility, and that's what Yehuda said, that we want the greatest Kiddush Hashem is when the miracles happen in the most natural way. Right? How does that fit with the Ramban that we learned the other day? It's a good question, but that's what Yehuda claimed. Binyamin said, no, we're going to force the miracle to happen, and that's why Binyamin went in, and Yehuda was trying to keep them out. So that is the other perspective on how to view this. It's interesting, there is a Gemara in Yuma as well, Daftal Amud Beis, where it compares the going into the Yamsuf with Moshe going into the Mishkan, once the Mishkan was created. The Gemara tells us on Daftal Amud Beis, Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Tananem Arkan Besoch, Benemar Lahalim Besoch. It says here you're going to be in the midst, and it says there, but splitting of the sea, you're going to be in the midst. Vayvo Bnei Yisrael Besoch Hayam, Mal Lahalim Beshvil, just as there was a path that was cut through the water, Divsivamayim Lahem Choma, Afkan Shvil. So too, there was a path cut through here as well. So it's comparable entering the Shechina to entering the Yamsuf. And not only that, but there's an interesting medrash towards the end of Parshas Bamidbar, where just as there was, it doesn't make a comparison between the two, but the same fight, it seems, that was going on about who to go into the Yamsuf first, or who wasn't going to go into the Yamsuf first, was going on with regards to the Mishkan as well. That there was a discussion of, that we have to make sure that there are those that are taking care of the Arum. That when Kahas, when they were assigned that you're going to be taking care of the of the Kalim, so they all ran and signed up to say, oh, I'm going to be in charge of the Shulchan, I'll be in charge of the Menorah, I'm going to be in charge of the Mizbeach, and nobody wanted to be in charge of the Aron. Why were they so concerned about being in charge of the Aron? Because they know that if you touch the Arons, then they're going to die. It's a high risk to be near the Aron. That's one perspective on the Medrash. The other Medrash then says, oh, no, they all wanted to be with the Aron, and the threat was that if everybody just signs up to be carriers of the Aron, so what's going to be with the other Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash? I mean, they saw that extra Kedusha and they all wanted to be a part of it. They all wanted that as opposed to taking care of the other Kalim as well. So perhaps you could line up the two Midrashim just as the Gemara lines up the two entrances. Just as in the Yamsuf, they went into the sea, so to there they went into the Mishkan. The two are compared in the Gemara and Yuma. So just as by the Yamsuf, there's a machlokas whether they all wanted to get in first, but only Binyamin went in first, and Yehuda tried to hold them back. Or the other perspective of none of them wanted to get in first, and only somebody from Yehuda went in first. That's right. That's by the Yamsuf. We have the same machlokas by the vessels of the Mishkan as well. That either they all wanted the Aron, or none of them wanted the Aron. They were forced to get the Aron. So be that as it may, what exactly is that comparison? What is the comparison between entering into the Yamsuf and entering into the Mishkan? So that is sort of question number two. Question number one is, why are you not going to be davening? And question number two is, what is this comparison between entering into the Yamsuf and entering into the Mishkan? So it came across, yes?
Questions. One, it seems like Moshe is doing the right thing. He's telling the people to do not fear, stand fast, etc., etc. And then it doesn't seem to indicate that he's praying. And then Hashem says,
no, the text only indicates that in Pasuk 15, Hashem tells him to stop.
Right, to stop. But he says, speak to the children of Israel. But he was speaking to the children of Israel in the Pasuk before.
Right, so the Mefarshim that we read the other day, they all say, well, Moshe was davening also along with them. Now, Moshe's response to them was not necessarily to their tefillah, but it might have been to those that were complaining. And it seems there are several reactions amongst the Jews. Some were davening, and some went to Moshe and said, "Ah, there's not enough burial grounds in Egypt," etc. Right? So it might have been Moshe's response was specifically to them, and then he went back to his tefillah. Then Hashem tells him, "Well, you shouldn't be davening either." Okay.
So the second question I have is when Moshe raised the staff for the waters to split. That was impressive. It took all night for the waters to split. So when did Nachshon walk in?
Right. So when exactly did this happen? Well, we assume that the way we read the psukim was that this took place late in the night, or almost when one got towards morning. So when was it that Moshe raised his arm across the? It sounds like that was to get it started, right? You're going to raise your hand. The way you read it in the psukim is you raised it. Right, that Moshe did his thing, spread his staff, and that's when the malach went behind and served as the force field, and the sea began to split. It sounds like that all took place after he raised his arm. Yeah. How does that fit in with the Nachshon version? So.
See, look, Nachshon, he walked in, and then the waters are suddenly split at all.
Yes. Yeah. So either you could say that Gemara needs a little bit of poetic license. It's taking a little bit of poetic license. Or you could say, well, no, that they both happened. That when Nachshon got in far enough, that's when the wind started blowing and made room for him, or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the story with regards to tefillah? So there is an essay in the Ali Shur Chelik Beis, page Tafkuf Pei, page 580, where he explains, where he quotes from the Vilna Gaon the following idea, that it says, Hashem yilchem lachem atem tacharish, Hashem will fight for you, and you're going to be quiet. That there is no requirement for tefillah right now. So Rashi says, Alai hadavar tali velo alecha. That this is it's reliant on me, Hashem is saying, and it's not reliant on you. Zupam hayichidah shana motzim b'tarshu kadosh baruch higilah she'in sham makom l'tfil. This is the one time in the entire Torah that we see Hashem says, we're not going to daven right now. So the Vilna Gaon comments, kasav al zeh ki kriyas yamsuf haysa gilui shel hanhaga gavoa ad ma'od asher atfilos shelanu einam magios aleha klal. That this is going to be such a gilui shechina, going to be such a recognition of God's magnificence that our tefillos couldn't possibly reach there. It is the concept of Kel Elyon, that Hashem is the master of all, despite regardless of what our tefillos are. And then he explains the Kolomar Laman Gilui Kavod Yisparach Olam VeGilui Zehu Ahava Gemur Shal Kosh Baruch Hu. This was an idea of Hashem's full love for the Jewish people. LeKras Ham Hagazul LeChesed Tisgala Ein Makom LeTfila Ki He Ba BiKar LeGalas Shemal LeKavod Yisparach Olam Emele Tiyeh Bezeh Yeshuas Yisrael. That Hashem was just going to, regardless of what our tefillah, Hashem was just going to do it despite our tefillah. It wasn't that we were going to bring it about at all. It was going to be entirely 100%. From a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's what is quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon. So however, that seems to at first glance, what?
That it doesn't conflict with praying, though. I mean, you can still pray in the acknowledgement that Hashem is going to take care of it.
Okay, so hold on a moment. That might be what the Rav Chaim Volozhiner is saying. There is a... So that's idea number one. The Vilna Gaon presents this idea, the thing that's going to happen is going to be beyond prayer. Then there is a comment that the Nefesh HaChaim has in Shar Aleph Perek Tes. Now just keep in mind, the Nefesh HaChaim was the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. That's Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. Remember, we learned yesterday that Rav Chaim Volozhiner said a bracha at the bridge where the Vilna Gaon's mother was saved as an infant, right? That was these are the same characters. So there, so Rav Chaim Volozhiner is the Talmud Muvak of the Vilna Gaon, and he makes the following comment with regards to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem said to Moshe, why are you crying out to me? Speak to Bnei Yisrael, Ratzlor de Bedid Hu Talia Milsa, because it's reliant on you. Shimehima you betokef hamuna vabitachon veisu haloch v'nasua alayam, some of Libam velo yira, Rami Otsem bitchunam shavada yikra hayam lifnehem. That this is your deal. That if you can demonstrate enough emuna in me, if you can demonstrate enough bitachon in me, and yes, what exactly is the distinction? It's a good question. But if you can demonstrate enough trust in me, so then the sea is going to split. What does he seem to be saying? He seems to be saying that you are required, right, to make as much. I mean, Hashem is telling Moshe, don't daven to me, you Moshe, don't daven to me. You have a job to do to make sure that the Jewish people have full belief, because with that full belief, that's what's going to cause the sea to split. So you have a bit of a problem here. On one hand, you have the Vilna Gaon saying that the Jews are supposed to like sit down and not do anything. Right? Lo shlan Hashem act on their behalf. They have Rechaim Volozhin saying that it was only due to the emuna of Bnei Yisrael. It was only due to the faith of the Jews that they were able to be saved.
They're opposites in a way.
Yes, so the Ali Shor, the Rav Wolbe, comes and explains that Likras Hanes shall Kriyas Yamsuf lo aya makum l'tfila, aval makum shatfila in magas l'sham, habitachun magia alav. That there is even a point above tfila. That even above, yes, it is above tfila, as the Vilna Gaon is saying, but it does require the bitachun of Bnei Yisrael. That they need the trust of Bnei Yisrael that it's going to entirely work out. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says that's what the Gemara in fact writes in other places. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ratzah Sheyamdu Bnei Yisrael Shel Bitachon, that Hashem wanted to have Bnei Yisrael have a test of Bitachon. Ve'enein advarim, tefila ein magia lan hagag hagavoa hamiskal b'kriyas yamsuf, rak bitachon hi hachana aleha. That tefila is not enough to get you there. Bitachon was what they got to. And how do you get to that Bitachon? He leaves that out. He doesn't really talk about that. He just says that the idea of having full faith that everything is going to be okay takes you above tefillah. Why is that? So I would perhaps suggest, and I'm not sure I even want to go to this place, but that perhaps tefillah, if I'm davening, I have that in a way demonstrates a lack of bitachon, because I'm saying, well, Hashem needs my suggestions in order for everything to be okay. I'm going to change the truth, change the future. And that's what I'm offering with my tefillah. Without my tefillah, things aren't going to work out okay. It's only because of my tefillah that everything's going to work out okay. However, what we're trying to get to here is above tefillah, above that point, that everything's going to work out okay, regardless of whether I offer tefillah as well. Now, yes, that seems to fly in the face of everything that we know and everything that we generally do on a regular basis, but that, at least perhaps for that moment in time, it required that amount of commitment. And then perhaps what was the demonstration of that commitment? That rather than davening, rather than Moshe davening, Nachshon ben Aminadav went into the water. Right? Rather than offer and asking Hashem for help, they went ahead and assumed that there would be help. And that's why Nachshon Aminadav was able to go in, and that's why the sea was able to be split. And perhaps that's why, that's the other interpretation of the Gemara as well. The other interpretation of the Gemara, that the Gemara has of, that well, they all wanted to go in, and then but only one of them went forward, and Yehuda tried keeping them from going forward. Because Yehuda was saying that, no, this is above Bitachon, we don't even have to do that. We don't even have to go into the water. You should be able to be saved on your own even without going in. Something is going to happen regardless. Right now, of course, you run into this problem of, well, you know, I sent you the helicopter, I sent you the boat, I sent you, you know, that story that I sent you all these things, you didn't take advantage of it, maybe, right? But perhaps that's, Vilna Gaon is saying, at this moment in time, you didn't even have to do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save you 100% and be a, and you are only going to be a participant, not in the actions you are going to do, but only in the trust that you are going to portray. There is a okay. Perhaps that's also the connection between the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Mishkan. The Mishkan is what demonstrates the ultimate presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that requires the ultimate amount of bitachon, that requires the ultimate amount of trust. That I know that Hashem is here. I just know it has to be that Hashem is present.
The difference and Hashem in this case already told us what's going to happen.
Well, he told Moshe that what's going to happen.
Okay, told Moshe. Like, we don't really have that.
That's true. No, we certainly have a mitzvah to daven, and we have a requirement to daven, and you know, we're supposed to be doing that. I think the point is that at this moment they were told not to. That's what I think the Vilna Gaon is driving at. They were told not to. They were told everything's going to be okay. You have to have full bitachon in me, and keep your hands tied behind your back and keep your mouths zipped shut. And just have faith that everything is going to be okay. Right, but it sounds like perhaps only that moment in time, perhaps not at other times. So the Rav goes, the Rav Salvechik has, and the Rav thinking aloud on Shmos on page 101. So he suggests the following idea that by Yomer Hashem says, of course, in this parsha, Hashem says to Moshe, why are you calling out to me? Speak to me. So you're going to go. I'm thinking about a different pasuk there. At the very end, I'm sorry. At the very end of this pasuk, he points out The end of this parsha. How does it conclude? Vayar Yisrael's Hayad Hagdula Asher Asa Hashem Yisrael B'yom Asa Hashem B'yom Hashem Hashem. The Bnei Yisrael saw the great hand. So where did that term the great hand come from? We didn't see that. The Yam Hagdula. We generally have seen the Yad HaChazaka. That's what it was called in Egypt. In Egypt was called the strong hand. Why is it called here the big hand? What is the meaning of that? What does it say? Yad HaChazaka and the Yad HaGdola. So he explains the Yad HaChazaka is strong, but it doesn't uplift anybody. That the Yad HaChazaka is what demonstrated the Makos in Egypt. What did the Jews do for those Makos to happen? They did nothing. They did nothing, but it doesn't. But, and they weren't a participant in the Makos in Egypt. That was something that was just, so to speak, between Hashem and the Egyptians. And Hashem was, you know, dealing with that. Chazal comments, however, the sea did not split, but by Yamsuf there was a initiative. What was their initiative? So he says the initiative was Vayvo Bnei Yisrael, that they went into the Yamsuf, meaning the Nachshu Ben Aminadav act was their initiative. According to what we've been saying with the Ali Shur and the Vilna Gaon and Rav Chaim Volozhiner, perhaps the suggestion is that it was just simply their bitachon, their trust that everything was going to be okay, is the initiative that was necessary in order to cause the Yamsuf to happen. And that was the... that's why it took place. That's the difference. Now, I'm not sure what the difference is between the language of Yad HaGdola and Yad HaChazakah, but that's why it's termed differently. One was a Kadosh Baruch Hu acting on his own, and one was a Kadosh Baruch Hu acting due to the trust that was being laid into him, but the trust that was being put into HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Bnei Yisrael.
However, the last line would seem to indicate that it was only after the Red Sea split that they got the tachan, because it says that Israel saw the great hand that Hashem put them upon Egypt, and then the people revered Hashem and they had faith in Hashem.
I hear. You're saying that that's what caused by Hashem Moshe, though Hashem Hashem. Right, so maybe one could suggest that they, and therefore that established their Emunah Li'olam Vod or something like that. You could work around that pasuk. I mean, that because of this experience that they had now, that's now going to be the foundation of their faith going into the future as well.
Because there's a relationship.
Okay.
You know, they acted and Hashem acted.
Mm-hmm. Right, so he asked...
Trust between partners. You
know. Yeah, so he asked the question here, why is it Az Yashir Moshe, why is it now? I mean, the next paragraph begins with Az Yashir Moshe, therefore Moshe is saying, Uvinei Yisrael. So why is it that Moshe, he actually has a different discussion of, why is it that did Moshe sing Bnei Yisrael not? Why did Moshe sing when they left Egypt? What's going on? But he explains here, at least, why is it that now Bnei Yisrael sing Shira? Why didn't they sing Shira when they left Mitzrayim? We sing Shira when they left Mitzrayim, right? We say Hallel the night of the Seder. Why do we not say Hallel? Why did they not say Az Yashir? Why did they not sing their song until they left Egypt? Because Vayar Yisrael Siyah HaGdolah, it was at that moment when they recognized the Bitachon, they recognized the full faith, that, or the importance of their necessity of full faith, they were raised to the level of seeing a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Because I've explained something
to Shia. That it's only when we participate.
Right, that's what he's saying. That because we participated in this, therefore that's what brought about the Shira, our participation with a Kaddish Baruch Hu.
It solidifies the relationship of trust.
Right.
If we're just the recipient of it and we do nothing, then we don't really believe it.
Like, correct.
It's in welfare, you know. We don't have trust. We don't really trust it.
Right.
When we participate and we have a relationship with Hashem, we sense that it's struggling with something.
Correct. Now he gets into a thing, a couple of pages later on when he discusses specifically the issue of Shira, whether he shouldn't have, and why here and why not there. He talks about that Moshe now would demonstrate his leadership by offering the Shira. Maybe we'll save it for the next paragraph. The next paragraph is the actual Shira. Okay, so sorry, just to review though, right? We had the comparisons in the beginning of entering the Mishkan with entering the Yamsuf, the issue of not davening at this point. Comparison of crossing to the Yamsuf was the end of Mishkan is the issues of Emunah and Bitachon, the ideas of having full trust in Hashem. That's what the Mishkan represents, having full faith in Hashem, and that was the connection. Why is it that there's no offer of tefillah? We have the Rav Chaim and the Vilna Gaon saying that, or the Ali Shur interpreting their machlokas is coming out by saying, yes, you don't daven, bitachon is higher than davening, because that requires just full faith without our action, without our suggestions, without our giving any suggestion at all. With that, the Rav Salvechik took that and said, aha, because Bnei Yisrael participates now, that's why it's referred to as the Yad HaGdolah as opposed to the Yad HaChazakah, and perhaps that's why they all sang Shira at that point, because at that point, that's when we are full participants with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in bringing our Geula and having Hashem's name be manifest in the world. Okay, so stop here. Have a Shabbat Shalom.